Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here with Oreo outfielder. I call him outfielder now. Adam Jones used to say center fielder. Now it's outfielder.
I guess that's what I'm called now.
Yeah,
I'm
not outfielder.
I'm not even a center fielder no more.
Yeah. How does that feel?
I don't know yet. I had good talks with Torrey Hunter about it.
That's the best person to talk to
about.
Yeah.
Modeled my game after.
Did Torrey make you feel better about it? Did you talk to him before or after the move?
Before. He made me feel better about it. You know, he's like, oh, let the young guys go, and you've earned your right to dictate when you should be able to go. And if the person coming up behind you is worthy enough to be able to replace you, that's the second caveat of it is, you can't just say, I just want to move and devalue yourself. You want to be able to move and know that the person coming behind you can handle that same role. And not say be the same player, but handle the similar role. And I felt it was time. So,
what made you think Cedric Mullins could handle that?
I've watched him play a lot in center field and left and right in spring training. Watched him move around. Got to watch a lot of video of him this year defensively. He can play. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he draws the Bumbry comparison in terms of stature, but obviously the year is where it's at. I said he should be called up earlier. Obviously time, the clock starting and all that kind of stuff is always something people think about. They had to get certain money off the books. But I think it's a good time for him to come up and play and see what you have. End of the day, you can always say that someone is a prospect. Someone can do this. Someone can do that. The major leagues will let you know if you can do it. And you can have your opinion on it. You can say this is like the first overall pick is supposed to be a Hall of Famer. I think Griffey's the only first overall pick to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Besides Chipper Jones. He's the second.
Yeah, second.
I think. So, just because you're a first overall pick or a first rounder doesn't mean nothing. You know, you got Brad Brock as a 42nd round pick, I believe. He got outs. I mean, he's going to head into free agency. I mean, you never know what any player is going to be. But I think when you're in a position like we are right now as a franchise, you have to give players opportunities to get at bats and see if they can play in the major leagues. And right now, Mullins is the most deserving, I believe, and not to say I think DJ Stewart's on his way up also, but this kind of a log jam.
I remember the months leading up to Cedric Mullins coming up and possibly playing. I remember hearing people ask the question of, you know, is Adam Jones going to be willing to move over to right? Is Adam Jones going to be willing to move over to right? Although I never heard Adam Jones say that he had some resistance to moving over to right field. And then when the time came when it was imminent, you took fly balls in right field before games on your own. Was there ever a problem with you in terms of, you know, I don't know if I want to move over to right field? Because I never heard that from you. I heard it from others.
And generally when you hear things from others, it generally has a lot of fabrications in their own personal opinions to do with it. With me, like I said, I talked to Hunter. I talked to Macklemore about it, you know, when we were in Texas. And I knew it was going to happen. I mean, obviously, once the trade deadline happened, obviously the record dictates a lot of what happens. And I just knew physically and moving forward into the offseason, you know, it would be more beneficial for my own personal stock to, you know, show that I can play right field. Now, the team might want me to see if I can play left field. I'm pretty sure I can play left field too, but it's not about pride and all that kind of stuff. I've done it in center field. You know, I ran so much and I got awards to show for it. So it's time to let someone else have center field. Strip pride aside, I'm going to try and get Mookie Betts Gold Glove next year.
There you go. And right
field. That's what I told him. He said that, said this year, he said he already got the lock on it this year, but next year, I said, I'm going to come out to your Gold Glove next year.
So you're embracing it. I wanted to go back to spring training. You sat on a Big Bat Morning Show in spring training in Sarasota. You came up and you were interviewed and you talked about wanting to win a ring because all your friends had rings. Mm-hmm. And even though I believed you, Adam, I'm not going to hide behind my statement. I said it on air, so I can't hide behind it. When it came time to talk trade possibilities and whether you would accept a trade, everyone believed that you would accept a trade to a winner as soon as it came to you. I didn't think you would. I didn't think the decision would be that easy. Wow. Just based on conversations that we've had and what's really important to you, I believe what you said then, but when the moment of truth came, I knew it was going to be a tougher decision for you. Why was that decision so tough?
Well, I just think the transparency was not in my favor. This business has to be transparency, especially, and I believe in a player of my caliber. People can say what they want. What you mean your caliber? You just employee my ass. Okay, everyone's an employee, but there's certain levels of employees, aren't there?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
There's certain levels of employees, and on this scale, I'm a high-ranking damn employee, okay? But I just think the transparency was just a little off, and good or bad, it doesn't really matter, you know, how I feel about it. I just think the transparency was off. I didn't have enough time to think it over with my family, and the situation... As I got to know and dig deep and try and do my, you know, my due diligence on what's going on, because I know how baseball works and I know people in the game. The situation that they wanted me to go in was not suited for me personally. It was suited financially for the team, yes, because obviously they got a lot of money off the books and a lot of money off the books for next year also, for possible future income. And for me, you know, my situation was different. All those other guys are either going to arbitration or hitting free agency, as Britton and Machado and Brock are doing, and Scope's going to free agency and like Gausman, or arbitration like Gausman. But those guys are going to make good money. Me, I've been around here since all of them was in high school.
Wow.
Reality.
Wow.
Yeah. All of them was in high school when I was here in the big leagues. Yeah. So... I watched all them grow up, and you know it's great to see those guys go now to some great opportunities. Gausman's been throwing the ball great. Britton's going through a little tough time up in New York. Scope's going through a little tough time over in Milwaukee, but we keep in dialogue and just trying to keep it positive with him. Manny's enjoying L.A., trying to get – he just got to get hot. He hasn't got hot yet.
You know he will.
He's still staying afloat, getting his hits and stuff like that, but when he gets hot, oh my Lord, that's
gonna love him in Los Angeles.
They're gonna love him in Los Angeles. Somebody's gonna bring him tacos every day. They're gonna bring him carne asada every day, man. They're gonna do it good for him.
I wanna get Roy Firestone on you. I'm gonna try to make you cry here. You probably won't be able to do it.
No.
But
maybe.
What does, forget about the Orioles for a second.
Right.
What does the city of Baltimore mean to you?
It's a city that has embraced me. I came over here. I turned 21 here in 06. I went and bought a homeless guy a six-pack.
Did you pop it open with him?
Nope.
Okay.
Just gave it to him, let him enjoy it. And then franchise gave me an opportunity. Second day of spring training, Dave Trimley told me, you're going to play every day. I said, okay. That's all I needed. It was okay. You know what I mean? That's it. You need the opportunity. You get the opportunity, you run with it. It doesn't matter what field. If you like the field, you run with it. Dave Trimley told me, the second day of spring training, you're going to be my center fielder. You're going to play every day. Looked at him. Said, okay. Just like that. Walked out of his office and ran the hell with it. Like
11 years.
Like Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just kept running. His beard kept growing. He was like, you know, I'm just tired. Now, I'm not tired. I'm not like, I'm still on my Forrest Gump. Right now, I believe, it's, you know, you start in Seattle and come to Baltimore and they got to run back across the country. I'm in like the Colorado. I'm in the Rockies right now, going back to San Diego. So I believe I got another 5 years of baseball left in his body.
That's a baseball response. What does the city mean? Because you do a lot in this city. You do a lot in the city. What does the city mean to you?
Yeah, this city has just given me an opportunity to afflict change mentally and meet some of the best people I've ever met. you know, some lifelong friends that I believe that I can create and have lifelong relationships with, on, you know, from people I've met through charities, people I've met through baseball, certain fans that have been really, really cool and appreciative. The support that my tailgate has gotten, that shows that the people really care. And it's not just like, oh, I want to hang around Adam. Most of the people don't even meet me or nor see me. They see me on stage, and most of the people are like, man, I just had a great time at your tailgate. It was a great time.
And that's for the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah. And now we're doing it for the Boys and Girls Club, but we're doing it for just like multiple projects. We're broadening our horizon. There's so many different projects my wife and I have right now, and it's cool to give money in different areas, because there's a lot of different programs that Baltimore has going on right now that that all they need is a push. But the opportunity between the lines has created that opportunity. Like I said, and it was all because I had an opportunity, and I ran with it.
You've been well guarded throughout your career, so use this time right now. You said, number one, somebody has to know what you're doing. So what are you doing? We know Boys and Girls Club because you have a commercial that says that. I've got kind of a cheat sheet on some of the things you're doing, but the listeners right now don't.
We're doing Living Classrooms, Stocks for the Future, Sharp Dressed Man, and a few others.
What's Stocks for the Future? That sounds interesting.
It's might tell you better. It's from what I went to the class, so what I get out of it is, I think it's eighth and ninth graders that get financial literacy, learning the stocks, learning mutual funds, learning all the IRAs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What HMO and a PPO, what's the difference between them and all that kind of stuff. I sat in there for an hour and was like, I learned this at like 27. You know what I mean? These kids are getting the opportunity to learn this at
12, 13.
I learned this at 27.
Yeah.
I took accounting. Thought accounting was so boring. There was no girls in my accounting class.
That's always a factor.
Yeah, there ain't no girls in accounting class.
Yeah, that's always a factor.
Yeah, there was none back then. So, like I said, it's about giving an opportunity for people just to learn. And like I said, it doesn't matter who you are, it's the classroom. I'm like, we're doing scholarships through Living Classrooms because they have a great vision. They have a great platform also. Okay. On what's going on in the city. And you know, my clothes, I'm glad I'm able to like get all my clothes and my shoes that, because there's so much stuff that I have and that I just don't wear, don't use. So I'm starting to give it to, you know, Sharp Dressed Man and different programs because they deserve, you know, first of all, they deserve an opportunity to get themselves back into society and look good. You know, like I said, presentation is,
you know, hard to get that job if you don't show up sharp at the shop at the interview.
100%. Right? Yeah. You know what I mean? You got a fresh cut, but you ain't got a fresh fit.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at your fit. But if you got both, you know, they're going to at least hear you out a little bit. So, like I said, I'm not trying to be Superman or a hero or anything like that. I'm just trying to show that you can be from the hood and you can get the hell out of it. Okay?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.